Good morning, friends, and welcome to the worship of the living God according to the best of the United Methodist tradition. In our working through the seven deadly sins, we have come to the sin of sloth. The cure for sloth is zeal for God. So I expect you to be zealous in your worship today, to enter into it with full energy, to sing and pray and listen and to repent. And so that you may summon your energies for the zealous worship of God, I invite you to take a moment of silence and we'll stand for our Lenten call to worship. Let us stand before the Lord.
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You may have all this world, give me Jesus. I heard my mama say,
join me at the greeting. As the friends of God, let us bless the Lord. Blessed be God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Blessed be God's kingdom now and forever. Amen. And now from the book of Proverbs, some scriptures on the deadly sin of sloth. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. The desire of the sluggard kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. So with great zeal, I invite you to sing our opening hymn, number 126. Sing praise to God who reigns above.
And every face.
In a world of spin and excuses, the church continues to confess our sin honestly to Almighty God because we know the medicine of forgiveness. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, calling us to fervent love for Jesus Christ and one another, how easily we are seduced into spiritual sloth and lazy mediocrity. We waltz in and out of church as if it were an amusement park. We sample and comment on sermons as if they were items on a food bar. We laugh at the sins of our national leaders and expect our preachers to be entertainers and comedians. Remove the creeping numbness from our souls. Have mercy, O Lord, and wake us from our slumbers. Come by the power of your Holy Spirit to show us who you are, the awesome and living God who judges the lukewarm and complacent. Forgive, rebuke, correct, and instruct us that we may be more like the one we call Savior, even Jesus Christ our Lord, who is full of holy zeal for your kingdom, which sets everything ablaze, and who is merciful and kind to all who turn to him in true repentance. As the Holy Spirit reveals to you those places where you are guilty of the deadly sin of sloth, I invite you to confess them to God in silence. Brothers and sisters, there is medicine for our souls. Almighty God, have mercy upon you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness. By the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. And God's people said,
amen. Glory be to
you're seated, turn to someone and say, I'm turning up my zeal for God this morning. I'm turning up my zeal for God. Staff members have to sing over the hymns. Every man under the sound of my voice is invited to our fellowship hall Tuesday evening at 6 to pay $7 for a catered meal and to hear an amazing story from Jerry Rentz, who used to work at Capsa Jail, about the prison ministry at the McCormick Correctional Center. Jesus said, I was in prison and you visited me. Some of you probably need to join Mr. Rentz once a week and go to McCormick and his mature Christians, find some young man who is without a father, who needs a man to show some encouragement in him. So I'd like to invite every man personally to come Tuesday night at 6, maybe to have some of your myths upset about what our prison population is like. Our Lenten pilgrimage continues this week. Service next door at First Pres at 2:35. You can eat before or after. Our Wednesday meal is at 5, followed by Bible study and choirs. Our member care team is having a training this afternoon at 5. We'd like a representative from every Sunday school class to talk about the pastoral care of your class. We're also joining our bishop in raising 1 million books across our state. Our quota is 1,000. New or lightly used children books are welcome. They may be dropped off by the office. I want to thank you for your patience with us as we rebuild our walkway. That entrance is not available. We have doorbells at the elevator door and the fellowship hall. And I learned something this morning. If you come in the side door at 5:30 in the morning and you hustle down the hallway towards the office, when you get about halfway there, the alarm will sound. The alarm company will call and ask you for a password that you have forgotten. The police will show up. And a staff member will be awakened from sleep and hold a grudge against you for 6 months. So there was some drama this morning, and I have to figure out next week how to get in the building without being found out. The adventures of Pastor Phil continue. I do invite you on the center aisle to pick up registration pads and everyone to sign in and pass them down. One of the things I have learned about Greenwood is that God has woven across this town a whole web of Christian mercy ministries, the premier one of which is probably the Greater Greenwood United Ministries. When I call these people, they answer the telephone. When I send them a case, they follow it up. We are in deep and rich financial and missional partnership with them. And I'm committed to having them here about once a year just to say thank you. And at the end of the service, Dan and Rosemary will be up front. This past week, one of the circles had one of them come and talk about the free medical clinic. And Lori was so inspired that she came to me and said, "Phil, when I get out of school, I'm going to go volunteer this summer at the free medical clinic." So I invite you to open your hearts and minds to two of our partners in ministry, Dan Bell and, what's your last name, Rosemary? Bell, okay. Please come to the pulpit.
I'm Dan Flint, the retiring, or actually I have already retired. I retired in January, after serving 13 years at Greater Greenwood United Ministry as the executive director. Of course, he introduced Rosemary Bell, who is the new executive director. And most importantly, I want to thank you as a church for being so supportive of Greater Greenwood United Ministry over the years. I also want to thank you, and some of you were probably here when Main Street United Methodist Church was one of the 17 churches that formed Greater Greenwood United Ministry and chartered the ministry and positioned ownership of the ministry. We're just agents for you. And for those of you that are not familiar with the ministry, I want to use the illustration. You've all probably carried an umbrella this morning. Greater Greenwood United Ministry is the umbrella. Underneath the umbrella is the crisis ministry, the free medical clinics, and the dental care ministry. And in the crisis ministry, we handle people that need food, need help with utilities, need help with rent, in some cases a temporary shelter for emergency cases, medication outside of the free clinic if there's an emergency need. We source to get eyeglasses for these people and so on and so forth. We also are a tremendous referral base. Where we can't help people or maybe are limited on where we can help them, then we know where to refer them. We also have the next crisis or function is the free medical clinics. When I first came to Greater Greenwood United Ministry, we had Thursday night as a free medical clinic. We now have 4 days of offering a free medical clinic. Then we have the dental care ministry, which is the people, when I first went to the ministry, the dentist chairs and everything was right there, and the volunteer dentist would come in and take care of them on Thursday night. We now process them, get the paperwork, but we call the dentists who volunteer to handle these people, and of course, mostly just do extractions. But I want to call your attention to a couple things as far as the free medical clinic is concerned and the ministry in itself as a whole. First of all, the volunteers are the lifeblood of Greater Greenwood United Ministry. There are only four staff people. That's the director, the medical clinic coordinator, and two other staff people. The rest is all done by volunteers, administrators, intake workers, doctors, pharmacists, nurses, and of course, just tremendous amount of need still for volunteers in all these areas. So if anybody feels led to potentially volunteer in ministry, and I like to say ministry because Greater Greenwood United Ministry, we have that ability and privilege to have Bibles out front, tracts out front, the Ten Commandments out front, discipleship material. Our people can pray with the people in the rooms if they so choose to do that. And the reason why we can do that, we do not receive any federal dollars, so we function as a ministry and we want to stay that way. And then I just want to again say thank you to the many volunteers over the years. I've seen a couple this morning, or three or four as I've come in this morning, that Miss Evelyn Irwin, for example, and Marilyn Mack, they were... Evelyn, I got to tell you, y'all know her. She challenged me the first day I was in the ministry, so about remembering things. So anyway, she'll tell you the story about that. But I want to turn things over to Rosemary Bell, who is the new director. I hope you will support her and be there to encourage her and do the things that you've done for me as a church over the years. I've just... privileged to have been down here to talk to you folks before in different areas, just telling about the ministry. One time I did pulpit fill here. And so you're just a great church. I love you very much. I'm going to turn things over to Rosemary.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Pastor Phil, for inviting us to come this morning and share our mission and our ministry with you. And I just want to echo Dan's thanks to the church for the years of support with finances and volunteers. Wanted to let you know that, well, I've only been in the job 9 weeks, and it's been a whirlwind, but it's been a wonderful, fulfilling, humbling experience of a whirlwind for me. And between January and February, we have seen 280 clients come through, and that is up 15% over last year the same time, January, February. So there is a huge need for the ministry in the community, and we always need volunteers. If you feel like maybe I can't do anything, oh, yes, you can. You come talk with me, call, and come down. The next couple of minutes, I wanted to just spend talking with you about some future things that are coming up. Our fundraiser, the Medicine Chase, is coming up the last Saturday of April, April 26th. It's the only fundraiser that the ministry does every year, and we raise funds solely for the medications and medical supplies of the free medical clinic. So we're needing sponsors for that event, and we're also needing lots of runners and walkers. And I know this church is full of those. So we'd love for you to come out and help us raise funds for the free medical clinic. We're going to have the Self-Regional Healthcare Health Express there with us this year, and they're going to be offering some screenings from 8:30 until 12. So if you're in town, you can go to greenwoodunitedministry.org, our website, and the application form is there. A couple other things I wanted to share with you. We did have a new volunteer come in last month, and he has a financial background. This is just an example of how we can use everybody in the ministry. He came through and wanted to do some financial coaching for us. And so what we've done is he comes in on Thursdays, and he takes three clients every Thursday. We started last Thursday with our first client. She brought her sister, and they're coming back this Thursday, and her sister wants the financial coaching as well. It was so successful. What we're doing is referring our clients in to meet with him if they're specifically having problems with their budget and their finances. So the intake workers are referring them to him for that extra coaching. So that's one thing we're really excited about. And a lot of you know that my background is prevention and wellness, so how can I bring that into the ministry? Well, we're looking at especially our free clinic clients that come in, our patients, and what we call frequent flyers that maybe come in to have inhalers refilled or diabetes medications refilled. We want to make sure that we're good stewards of those medications that go out to the patients as well. So what we're starting is a partnership with Presbyterian College, and we're going to do tobacco cessation classes or seminars and also some diabetes education with those patients. So So we're really excited about doing some different services for the community. And again, I just want to thank you from my heart. I know this church has been involved from the beginning, and I appreciate it. I know Dan's appreciated it. The community has appreciated it. And I'm just really glad that, God has led me to this ministry. It's been a blessing. Thank you. Thank you.
Our parish nurse, Ms. Lee Roberge, is going to read an impossible job description from the book of Proverbs. And when you say thanks be to God, our drama on sloth will begin.
Listen to the teaching of King Lemuel's mother, Proverbs 31. The words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. Know, my son, know, son of my womb, know, son of my vows, do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to desire strong drink, or else they will drink and forget what has been decreed and will pervert the rights of the afflicted. Give strong drink to one who is perishing, and wine to those in bitter distress. Let them drink and forget their poverty, and remember their misery no more. Speak out for those who cannot speak, for the rights of all the destitute. Speak out and judge righteously. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. A capable wife who can find, she is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from far away. She rises while it is still night and provides food for her household and tasks for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands to hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid for her household when it snows, for all her household are clothed in crimson. She makes herself coverings. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the city gates, taking his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She supplies the merchant with sashes. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her happy. Her husband, too, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her a share in the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the city gates. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hello, my name is Christian, and I am you. I try to do my best to walk the Christian walk of faith, and I have one more thing to say to help us all.
I'm Christian. Yep, right there, black and white. Yep, it says, enter sloth, stage right, interrupt. Yep.
I'm waiting.
in right there. Great. All right. Same. Just one more thing to say to help us all.
Whatever.
No. See, that's not right. Okay. Let's try this one more time. One more thing to say to help us all.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Christian, how?
That's not right. Okay. Listen. It's not what you're supposed to say.
I'm in improvisation, Christian. Memorization is just way too hard.
Just say your lines, please.
Okay, whatever.
All right.
What page are we on?
The first page. We haven't even started. Okay.
Are you
okay? All right, you ready? You have your script? Okay. What are you doing? You're supposed to that. Okay. All right. Okay.
Whew.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah. What are you doing?
You don't need me.
We kind of do need you. You have
Christian,
some...
it's just too hard, and I don't feel like it.
Listen, you.
Sit down.
No, I got it.
Christian, sit down.
Okay, I'm sitting.
Yeah. What do you see?
I see a lot of people staring at us.
Look at them. Look at them. You see that guy back there with his head down?
Yep.
And that kid right there talking to her friend. And that woman, she just can't seem to get her nose out of the bulletin papers.
Yep.
You know, I could go on and on and on, but they don't care. So why bother?
Nobody.
You see? Why bother?
Whatever.
Yeah, it's not like God can use us to make their lives any better.
No, I'm not gonna believe that. No.
Christian, don't pray. It's not gonna help. You'll see.
Hello. My name is Christian, and I am you. I try to do my best to walk the Christian walk of faith, and I have one more thing to say to help us all. There is no temptation that has seized you except what is common to all people. And God is faithful. He will never allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear, and when you are tempted, He will always provide a way out so you can stand up under it.
Where is Tiffany Atkinson?
Children's time.
I bumped you, but it was unintentionally, so come treat us to it as well with my soul.
Thank you.
Many of you have not met Tiffany. She serves with our children's choir with Larry on Wednesday nights. Is a religion graduate from PC and serves Christ as an employment counselor at Goodwill. I'm going to ask Mary Alexander to come forward for our children's time, and all the children come down front, sit right in the middle, because you're in for a treat with a Mary Alexander children's sermon. I look forward to them.
Good morning, everybody. I know these are Clemson balloons. Some of you are happy about that. I know Sam Crooks is. It was not to make a statement in any way. It was just all I had. You know, God wants us to be like this balloon, full of air and happy and light. And we can do that when we do what he says. But sometimes we don't always do what he says, do we? And what happens when we don't? Do we get sad? Like, can you think of some things that we should be doing? Like if you have a friend over and you have a brand new toy and they want you to share and you don't want to and you don't, what do you think that makes them feel? Sad. And what if you're supposed to be helping, like around the church and stuff, and you just decide you don't want to do that and you sit back and you watch everybody else? Losing a little bit of that great spirit and that lightness. And then what happens if you just, you're not nice to everybody. And you go to bed at night and you say, oh, I'm so tired, I don't want to say my prayers. Maybe if we heard that noise every time we started to make a mistake, we wouldn't do it. But that's what happens. We just lose ourselves and we become sad. But God doesn't want us to be like that. He wants us to be balloon, full of air, full of lightness, and doing what he tells us to do. Can we pray? Dear Jesus, you showed us how to love one another and think of someone besides ourselves. Help us to let go of the selfishness that weighs us down. Help us to lift our spirits by putting the needs of others ahead of our own. Amen.
If you will look on the back of your scripture sheet, several years ago, I put together a chart on each of the seven deadly sins, and this is part of my chart on the deadly sin of sloth. If you look about six stages up from the bottom, for the theme song of sloth, I chose Otis Redding's Sitting on the Dock of the Bay. The TV character for Sloth is either Gilligan of Gilligan's Island or Homer Simpson. You can look at this later. Two passages. The first, the letter of John to the church at Laodicea, which had grown slack in its ardor for God, and then a parable of Jesus. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write the word of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works, you were neither cold nor hot. Would that you were cold or hot, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot. I will spew you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not knowing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. Therefore I counsel you to buy gold from me, refined by fire, that you may be rich, and white garments to clothe you, and to keep the shame of your nakedness from being seen, and salve to anoint your eyes that you may see. And then these words, those whom I love I reprove and chasten, so be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and eat with him and he with me. He who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I myself have conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Then a parable of Jesus from Luke. Let your loins be girded and your lamps burning. Be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the marriage feast, so that they may open to him at once he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will gird himself and have them sit at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or the third and finds them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that the householder had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the word of the Lord. During the late 1960s, at the height of the Cultural Revolution, a couple was traveling around California. One day they noticed a bearded, pleasant-looking young man sitting beside the bridge near their hotel. Curiosity eventually overcame them, so they went and asked him why he sat in the same spot all day, every day. "I happen to believe in reincarnation," he replied. "I've lived many lives before and will have many lives after this one. I've just decided to sit this one out." Takes a minute, doesn't it? Sitting life out. That is the deadly sin of sloth. And it's not only a threat for those who believe in the false idea of reincarnation. I see in myself and find in others many Christians who seem to live without a focus. They've never come to terms with the scripture from Hebrew 9 that says, "And just as it is appointed for a man once to die, and after that comes judgment." You don't have many lives to live. You have one life to live. From your conception to your natural death, it has a trajectory. It has an intensity. You do not get a do-over, and every moment matters. In the Roman Catholic listing of the seven deadly sins, sloth is fourth. Pride, envy, anger, and sloth. The Middle English word is sloth. S-L-O-W-T-H-E, from we get the word slow. Now, sloth is a life in slow motion. It is a life with all the zest sucked out of it because it is missing all the good things of God. The first thing of which is God Himself, and then the gift of other people. Did not Jesus say, first, love the Lord your God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then what? Out of the overflow, your neighbor as yourself. Now, when I find someone that I sit down with and I listen to them, I do a pastoral diagnosis, and sometimes I use the seven deadly sins. And if I find someone caught in the slow downward spiral of sloth, which is a kind of spiritual hypothermia headed down to where there is no love at all, I poke around their life and I say, "Is there anything that you love? Is there anything that intrinsically motivates you to engagement and movement and service?" And I don't care what it is, as long as it's not evil. As long as they can love something, there's a possibility of us expanding that love and stirring their zeal. Now, for the monks of the 4th and 5th century who first devised the seven deadly sins, the Greek word for sloth is acedia. And it means literally no care or apathy. And Evagrius of Pontus said that the demon of apathy, the demon of acedia, the demon of sloth strikes the monk between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. And that's when the desert sun in Egypt over the wilderness is at its height. And they live in caves or huts, and the sun bakes down upon their brow. And they grow weak and listless, and they do not care. Someone has written, "A Christian never falls asleep in the fire in deep waters, but she is likely to grow drowsy in the sunshine." sloth cools down our love for God and cuts off our love for other people. Sloth is like feeling tired and falling asleep in a snowdrift. There may be no pain, but you will freeze to death. Middle-aged man once went to his doctor complaining of many ailments, and he told the doctor, "I want you to tell me exactly what's wrong with me." And after a full exam and all the blood work, the doctor said, "There's nothing wrong with you except that you are lazy." "Okay, doc, but can you give me a medical term for it so I can tell my wife?" "Honey, the doctor says I have an advanced case of ancient acedia." "Did he write you a prescription?" "No, there's no medicine as yet." "He did say, though, that lots of rest and good food and a clean house would be very helpful." Sloth is clever. It always shifts the burden for initiative to other people. Sloth is the sin of the spectator. Have you noticed how many people watch baseball but never play baseball? Have you watched many people go to football games but never play football? How many go to concerts but never play a musical instrument? Who love to watch movies of great love stories but refuse to love the woman down the couch from them? Sloth is the sin of the spectator. And if love is the glue that binds us to God, then sloth loosens that glue until we drift apart from God. Sloth is everywhere. People who are slothful are allergic to ecstasy. Their song is the B.B. King blues song. The thrill is gone. Now, the deceptive thing about sloth is it is not a sin of commission. If you commit immorality and lust, you know it. You've done something. If you eat three times as much as you need, you've committed gluttony. You know, but you can commit sloth and never know it because it's a sin of omission. It's something you should do, but you don't do. You don't stir up your zeal for God. And it drifts and it dies and it gets cool. And pretty soon, you have become spiritually inert. You become an observer in your own life instead of a participant. The great issues of life pass you by and they don't move you. You can look at injustice and not be stirred by anger. You can look at a beautiful sunset and it leaves you bored. That is the deadly sin of sloth. If you have an unused YMCA membership and an overused easy chair, you may have sloth. If you read the funnies in the sports section and not the editorials, you may have sloth. It can creep into us in a thousand ways to leech the life out of us. Martin Niemöller was a famous German pastor of World War II, and at the end of the war, he diagnosed sloth in himself with these words. "In Germany, the Nazis came for the communists, and I didn't speak up because I was not a communist. Then they came for the Jews, and I didn't speak up because I was not a Jew. They came for the trade unions, and I did not speak up because I was not a trade unionist. They came for the Catholics, and I was a Protestant, and I did not speak up. Then they came for me, but by that time, there was no one left to speak up for anyone." To be a spectator in a time of moral crisis is the rotten fruit of sloth, not wanting to be bothered. It dissipates dry rot in the soul. The slothful are always defending their inertia. They talk about how busy they are. I know some nice church folk that don't seem to have even enough energy for any great commission of any sin. They are neither hot nor cold. They're just what? They're lukewarm. Now, do not confuse sloth with leisure. Do not confuse sloth with rest. These are good things that build us up or create. Sloth is something ugly. It's leisure gone to seed. It's every day as a Sabbath. It's lost the rhythm between work and Sabbath. Sloth can be mental. If everyone does your reading for you, you have sloth. If you watch TV religion but never read your Bible, you have sloth, mental sloth. If you thrive on secondhand opinions, if your conversation is full of cliches, if you never read a book to the end, then you have mental sloth. There's also moral sloth, and that's when you can walk past injustice and not have a problem of conscience. There's physical sloth, in which you refuse to keep up your body and you refuse to keep moving. And there's spiritual sloth, which is a loss of an appetite for God. Now, when I find my appetite for God waning, when I become distracted and anxious and distracted by, I do something really strange. I'll sometimes come stand right here about 5:30 on Sunday mornings when this place is black dark. And I'll lift up my hands and I'll holler. Holler. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Kindle a flame of sacred love on the cold heart of Pastor Phil. Do you know how many young men in our country are caught up in sloth? They're taken till age 30 to grow up. They're coasting on their parents. Their attitude is whatever. Do you know we have a plague of sloth among late adolescents and young adults? We also have a parallel plague of sloth among some retirees who do not retire to something so much as from something. And now they say, I get to do whatever I want. Now, folks, I'm not against time with grandkids. I'm not against trips. I'm not against hobbies. I'm not against you having a different life. I'm against people retiring from the demands of Christian discipleship before they die. Why not let your retirement years be a time to study the Bible, to go to seminary, become a local missionary, master a local social issue, gear up for God, run across the finish line of your own life? Pastor, I can't come to Bible study. I got to watch Dancing with the Stars at 7. Whole churches can get this thing. The church of Laodicea was full of sloth. Now, folks, this church has a heart to serve. But like much of America, we also have an addiction to convenience. And convenience, only when it suits me, is an early form of sloth. Jesus knocked on the door. Let me in. I want back in your life. I want back in my church. Be zealous, he said, and repent. We all have the 7 deadly sins. They rage in our lives according to where we are on the developmental scale and according to where we are vulnerable. There is also a form of sloth in which I am highly practiced, and that is the busyness that refuses to set priorities in concert with God. If you love God and you love your neighbor and you're to be about what God has called you to do so that you can say no to what God has not called you to do, then you will be able to resist the deadly sin of sloth. The loss of love being captured in the inertia of your own spinning habits. So when you hear Jesus knock, I want you to get off your easy chair. I want you to run to the door. I want you to unlock it from the inside. And say, Lord, welcome back into my heart. Welcome back into my church. Stir me. Stir my heart, O Lord, with holy zeal, that I may not become a victim to the creeping, frigid loss of the deadly sin of sloth. Take just a moment with this question. Has sloth deadened my heart and mind to to the joy and purposes of the Lord. Before the service today, as I was practicing with Josh, we looked at this hymn. I said, "Josh, this is a frightening hymn." He said, "What do you mean?" And I asked him to read the last stanza aloud. It's written by our own Charles Wesley. And it's against the deadly sin of sloth. Follow along with me. "Help me to watch and pray and on thyself rely, or sure if I my trust betray, I shall forever die." I invite you to stand and sing this Charles Wesley hymn with great zeal. Raise your voices loud that God may begin to rescue you and me from the deadly sin of sloth. Please stand. Treasure is, there will your heart be also. And by inviting you to give each week, we break the deadly sin of sloth by giving as a habit of Christian stewardship. Our ushers are prepared and you may be seated. Thank you. in the morning say, praise God from whom all blessings flow. But the first taste of coffee, especially if there's someone across the table from you, say, praise God from whom all blessings flow. If you had more work and good things than you could accomplish one day, say to yourself, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Please stand. One of the Christian news services that I follow, I read something amazing, and it just stunned me, and I sat there. All of the Orthodox churches of the East are going to meet in an ecumenical council in Istanbul, Turkey in 2016. It is the first ecumenical council the Orthodox have called in 1,200 years. I've stood in the palace of the Ecumenical Patriarchate in Istanbul, and I have prayed in that church. And after over 1,000 years of the Eastern and Western churches having been separated, this may be a move for the healing of that breach. Now, because the Nicene Creed is associated with the Eastern Orthodox Church, I invite you to recite this with me today. And I've written a little note in the hymnal that says, the slothful will resent that this creed is longer than the Apostles' Creed. And I hope that applies to none of you. So honoring our Christian roots and looking forward to the church's next ecumenical council, let us confess the faith of the one holy Catholic and apostolic church across the ages. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. The third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. I'm going to take one last stab today at ridding your soul of sloth. Are you prepared? This is my last and best shot. You know and love the hymn. Stand up for Jesus. I want you to sing it at full volume. I don't want to carry it with you into your week. Hymn number 514.
From victory unto
trumpet call away, forth through the mighty conflict, in this his glorious day. He that for braveness served him against unnumbered foe, let courage rise with danger and strength to strength uphold. Stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Put on over and stand by the piano here. Maybe if during their testimony you felt a little stir, come up and talk to them about how you might volunteer. I'm going to ask Mary Lynn if she'll go back and greet people at the back for me. And I'll be over here. If it's been a long time since your heart has been stabbed awake by the love of God or pain of the world, I will be here to pray that God stab your sleeping heart away. Energy and hope and life and joy are the gifts of God. I invite you to enter them fully this week and find the blessing of God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the church said, Amen.